There was youth group last week, so we missed you all, but it was good. Those of us who came had a good time, learned a little bit, and we started this new series on Revelation. But before we get to that, now that everyone's back, how was your Christmas? You guys have a good break? You turned 18. Wow, that makes for a good break, yeah. Did anyone do any traveling over break? Yeah? How far did you go? Where did you go to? Sweet. Seems to be like the curse of Washington this year, because we went to Washington and we got stuck in a snowbank on the way back. So it just didn't make for the best of times, but it was still good. It was a good Christmas. We went up to Ferndale, a little tiny town on the top northwest corner. But yeah, you're about an hour and a half south of where we were. So yeah. Well, I think all of you are back in school by now, right? You guys happy about that? Glad to be back in homework, right? No? Why not? Homework's awesome, right? Shh. Shh. Well, if homework's not so awesome, why do you guys keep doing it? Have you ever thought about that? Get good grades? Well, what's so important about good grades? Scholarships, yeah. What comes before scholarships, though? Before you leave high school, what's kind of like the transition thing? Big ceremony. There you go. Graduation, yeah. You guys want to graduate, right? That's why you do homework? Yeah? All right. Are any of you guys afraid of graduating, or are you just kind of looking forward to it? You're afraid? What are you afraid about?
I'm terrified of, like, not only being on my own.
It seems, right? Yeah. But are you only afraid of graduation, or are you guys kind of excited for it, too? You guys just about, I remember what it was like freshman year when senioritis started to set in, and you were just like, okay, I'm done with this whole high school thing. I'm ready to move on, right? So even though graduation is something to be worried about, it's also something we look forward to, right? Something we hope for. You're ready to be there when it comes. And even though there's a lot of stuff that you don't know, a lot of stuff you're unsure about, you deal with all the stuff now. You prepare for it. You do your homework. You get good grades so that when it does come, you'll be prepared for it, right? Yes? Yeah? All right. Well, in kind of a celebration of surviving the Mayan calendar, you know, apocalypse thing, we're doing a study on Revelation, when the true end of the world will happen, right? And so we started that last week with just a little bit of talk. I'll do a quick revamp of what, yeah. That's true. They like their Twinkies and Maya. I don't know where that is, but anyway. just a quick recap of what Tim talked about last week. Revelation was written to the early Christian church, which was really being persecuted by the Roman Empire at the time. If you were Christian, you were subject to die if they found out. And so he wrote this not as kind of like the left behind doom and gloom kind of feel where everything's going to come to an end and we should all freak out now. But he kind of wrote it, well, he definitely wrote it as hope. He wanted the people who were going through this persecution to have something to look forward to and to really realize why they're going through the stuff they're going through now, why they're doing their homework, so they can look forward to this coming event wherein they don't know everything that's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of scary stuff that happens if you don't prepare. If you don't do your homework, you're not going to graduate, right? If you don't hold fast, is what John is telling these early apostles, these early Christians, is that we don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be great, right? And a lot of the stuff that's in this book is really imagery, just trying to tell them the truth without being explicit, because, again, if the Romans found out what the book was actually about, what it was explicitly trying to say, it wouldn't have survived. And so he hides all his messages and all these different images and stuff, and we're going to take a series trying to piece together everything that John's trying to tell the early Christian church and why that still applies to us today. All right, sound good to you guys? So if you can go to the next slide, we have three different references that we're going to be reading from today out of Revelation, and I'm going to need three different volunteers to read those for me when we get to that. But as we're reading it, I want you guys to think about these questions. Each one kind of lines up with a Bible verse. Yeah, while I'm talking, they'll go ahead and pass out Bibles. So if you need a Bible, stick your hand up in the air, and they'll get you one. But the first passage that we read, I really want you guys to be thinking about this first question. What advice or encouragement would you give to ancient Christians who were suffering persecution and facing extreme pressures against their faith? Okay. With this first verse, this is one of the spots in Revelation that John's really addressing this issue. And he wants to tell the early Christians something. And I want you guys to really be thinking about what it is he might be telling them, okay? The second one is kind of the big question, I guess, when you're reading Revelation, what is it going to be like when Christ comes back, right? What's the second coming going to be like? What's the end of the world going to be like? We're going to read a little bit longer passage through there about what that's going to be like, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit, all right? And then finally, the third question relates to the third passage. It's what does Christ want Christians to know about him, okay? So those are the three questions I want you guys to be thinking about. And can I get three volunteers? All right. Why don't you take Revelation 3, verses 11 to 13. Cody, why don't you take the third one? It's going to be Revelation 22, 12 through 13. And then why don't you take Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Okay? And we're going to take each of these passages one at a time, I think, and we'll just break it down, talk about it a little bit before going on, all right? What else? There's a lot of imagery, like I talked about before. So what do you think the crown is that he's talking about through there? Anybody? Are there any other? Yeah. The gold medal, yeah. It's like your prize in Christ, right? All the references to crown is our prize through Christ. Now, what is he talking about when he says we're supposed to be a pillar, or we will be a pillar in the temple of our God? Yeah, Cody? What do you think that means? Being strong, yeah. I mean, a pillar has to hold up a whole building, right? So you got to be pretty strong to do that. Another thing he's saying through here, it's a reference to all the ancient Christians at this time that he's writing to are in Jerusalem, for the most part. And so they really have an understanding of the Old Testament, because they're all from the Jewish tradition, and so they really understand the imagery here. And so the imagery in this case is that you can't take a pillar out of a building, right? If you do, the whole building falls apart. And so he's talking about like the importance that God has for us, how important we are to him, and then how certain it is that we will always be in his presence if we persevere, that we will be held in his temple just like a pillar is, all right? So going on, Revelation 19, 11 through 21. So that was yours. Sure, right? All right, so this is the depiction of Christ's second coming, okay? A little bit different than his first, you know, being born a baby. Now he's coming on a white horse with a sword, killing everything, right? But again, we got to remember that this is all imagery, okay? John is trying to paint a picture of what it's actually going to be like when Christ comes, okay? And so what will Christ's return be like is the question that John is trying to answer in this section, okay? And what he's trying to get across to these early Christians is that we need to have hope in Christ, because even though he reigns now in a way that's harder for people to see, when the end of times come, he's going to reign definitely. It says that the word that comes from his mouth is going to be a sword, and with that, he's going to slay everybody, okay? The imagery that that's painting through there is that everybody on this earth is going to know who Christ is on that day, okay? There's not going to be any confusion. There's not going to be anyone denying it. It's going to be true for everyone to know, okay? And the beast and his prophet are references to the antichrists and things like that. And those who haven't, and his army are all those people who have not given their life to Christ, who haven't prepared for that day. And they die. It's a sad message, but just like if you don't do your homework for graduation, you're not going to graduate. If you don't prepare for Christ before he gets here, you're not going to go with him. Right? We all know this. What are you guys thinking about that right now? Or feeling? Does anyone have anything they want to throw in? Yeah. That's like 20 million points to Cody over there. Okay. Let's move on and I will answer that question. Okay. Thank you for that segue. Perfect. Moving on to the next reading, which is your reading too. Revelation 22, 12 through 13. Okay. So why don't you guys all go ahead and turn there. Okay, so what is Christ saying to Christians here? Oh. Yeah.
He created the world, so he is the beginning.
Yeah. Soon. And he says it's coming soon, right? Yeah. So, yeah. What's it? And so when we're thinking about the whole purpose of writing this book, where he's trying to give these people something to hope for, something to trust in, how does this passage play into that? Does anyone have any ideas for that? Okay, so when we take it in context of the whole book, right? When John is trying to tell these early Christians, you know, hang in there, right? Hope in this, trust in this, trust in God. How does this play into that? What difference does it make if God's always been there and always will be there? Yeah? Why does God always being there affect the fact that we should believe in him. Does that make more sense?
Dependable.
Yeah, he's dependable, right? If he's always been there, you can trust him, right? Because he knows what's all happened. He's got the whole picture, and he knows what's going to happen, so he knows more than anyone else, right? You should trust in him, right? That's part of what John's trying to say here. He's telling us that God's in control, that he's created everything, and everything's within his power, and that we should really just trust him in all that's coming. Because this is, if you don't trust him and if you don't hope for what's coming, this picture does seem kind of gloomy and doomy, right? But when you trust in him, we have something to hope for because we know what we have to do to get through this, okay? And so I want to be careful about this, a lot of people, I'll just put it that way, okay, spend a lot of the time in the book of Revelation trying to predict what's going to happen, right? They try and figure out what the mark of the beast is and when Christ is going to come back and what the tribulation means and if Christ is going to come back during it or after it or before it. And is there such a thing as a rapture? And they spend all their time looking into that. But none of that was why John wrote this in the beginning. That wasn't the point. And to focus on that is to really miss the point. If you want to go to the next slide, the questions that these early Christians were really asking and looking for answers for were these three questions. Is he coming back? I mean, he just died, and we're all risking our lives believing in everything that he said. So is he really coming back for us, or are we just hosed? And John here, through God, or God through John, on the other hand, is just definitely saying, yes, I'm coming. I'm coming soon. Trust in me. Hold in there, right? And then he says, and then their questions are, well, what's going to happen when he comes? And so he lays it all out. If you're not following me when I come back, it's not going to be pretty. But you have something to hope for because everything that I taught you, everything that I said to you is true. You can trust in me. And when you persevere in me, I will make you a pillar in my temple. I'll make you, just a sec, I see your hand over there, okay? I will make you strong so that you can persevere. And when the day comes, you will be with me and I will protect you from the entire world. And at this time, the whole Roman Empire pretty much owned the whole world. So there was like nowhere you could go that was safe. And so to them, that sounded like a pretty good deal, right? What was your question? If it comes back, right? And then the third big question, as Cody pointed out earlier, is what should we be doing in the meantime? How do we prepare for his coming, right? And for the rest of today's session, I just really want to delve into that with you guys, okay? I was going to break off in small groups. I don't know if we really have time for that per se, so if we can just like chop the group in half right here. Andrew, you're on this side, okay? And then have you two rows on this side meet together in a group. What do you have to look forward to when Christ returns? Okay, what are some things about the second coming and about the new life to come that we really should be looking forward to as Christians? In the Christian church, this is called the beatific vision. It's a big word, but it just basically means what it's going to be like when Christ comes back. The second question is, what things might hinder you from being prepared for Christ's return? So what kind of things are we doing right now that hold us back from being prepared when Christ comes back? Okay. The third question is, what could you do to hang on to your faith in tough times until Christ returns? So whether that be relying on each other or prayer, just what are some things that you do, some spiritual disciplines that really help you build up and strengthen yourself and persevere in times that are hard, in times when your faith is just really being tried? Okay. And then the final question is kind of a more personal question for you guys to think about, are your friends and family prepared for that day? It's a scary question because we know what will happen if the answer is no. But it's our call as Christians to reach out to them and help them prepare for that day, right? And the second part of that question is, how can we do that? How can we help them prepare more if they are and at all if they're not, right? So let's go ahead and start breaking off into groups and get talking about this. And with just a couple minutes you guys can talk more when we're done, but it's technically we got to let you guys go here soon, so feel free to stick around afterward. But I hear a lot of good conversation going on, so that's good. So feel free to continue that. As we go from here, though, we are blessed and lucky enough to live in a place where we are not persecuted for our faith. But I don't have to convince any of you guys that the world that we live in isn't perfect, and I'm sure a million examples run through all of our heads when we think of that. And I'm also pretty sure that I don't need to convince you guys that following Christ isn't necessarily the easiest thing to do, even when we aren't persecuted by our state, right? And so I want to just reaffirm what John is saying here to these early Christians and tell you guys that God is in control. And that though a lot of crazy stuff is going on right now, could be in your life, could just be around the world, that he has a plan and that he is trustworthy and that we can hope in him. And if you need to talk to anyone, know that this whole youth group is here for you, and our leaders are more than willing to grab a cup of coffee and just talk about things to help build you up in your faith and prepare you for that day. But in the meantime, know that we love you, all right? I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer. And again, feel free to keep talking, hang out as long as you want, but technically our time will be over at that time, all right? So we're going to pray. Adonai, we are so thankful to live in such a blessed place as this, such a blessed time as this, when we can openly worship your name and praise you with songs and shouts and dances and coming together and learning about you and to not be persecuted for it. Lord, we have brothers and sisters around the world who don't have that freedom. We have brothers and sisters throughout time who didn't have that freedom. And Lord, we are thankful for your promise of hope, your promise of deliverance, your promise of a prize unfathomable to us. Lord, we pray that as we go from this place, that you would build us up in our faith, that we would be more than willing to step out on your name and trust in you, to really just reach out to those around us who might not be prepared for that day when you come back to take us into your glory. I pray that you would give us the strength to persevere in our own faith for that day, that we would build each other up and in all the things that we do continue to praise you and worship you and love you, God. We are so thankful for all that you do for us. You are so amazing, and we praise your name. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed to continue talking or take off.